Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast, episode 75.
Hey, yo.
This is Jake Andrews from Ruby Dog Movies.
How's it going, y'all?
Hey, we're here joined by John Carman, Benji Dolly, filling in for Matt Arnold and Freddie Wong, who are out this week shooting some other stuff. We get into all types of rad things, mainly talking about our favorite shows on TV.
Wild, crazy, good times.
Yeah. Man, this is the most epic podcast
Woo!
Ever. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys,
we did it.
Welcome back. Today we have a very special episode. Ruby Dog returns.
Oh yeah.
We are joined today by John Carman, Jake Andrews, friends of the Rocket Jump family, and of course, purveyors, curators, originators, founders, what have you, of Ruby Dog Movies. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, I guess. And as always, we've got brother Benji Dolly.
Yeah, I'm also here today.
Yeah.
You're Thanks, here. Dez.
Yeah. So what's up, intro. Dudes?
Yeah, yeah. He, what's up? Give him a bigger intro.
That's all. I mean, come on.
Today is our special 75th anniversary episode.
Yeah, we trolled everyone. Today's a special 75th anniversary, but everybody's out shooting. Today's actually the first day of the new show, the Hulu show. I know they tweeted it, so it's not scary to say that. We can talk about that.
That's the thing that's happening.
So that's where everybody else is at the moment, and that's why you have this crack team.
Yeah, and we're going to blow your mind grapes with our amazing conversational skills, so in and... be prepared.
As you can feel, it's already riveting. John is psyched. He's ready to go.
You can cut the tension with a chainsaw. So thick.
I can see his hands shaking. He's so pumped to just get chatting. Anyways, but what have you guys been up to this week? What's going on in the office? You're still on.
What's happening in your lives, dudes?
Pretty much just this. Just Rocket Jump. I have no other life besides Rocket Jump.
Speak into the microphone, John, so people can hear you.
You don't like your headphones? You don't want to use your headphones?
I don't look like a nerd.
Hey, we're not like you.
Says the guy wearing glasses.
Sure. What, a glasses joke? What is this, 1986?
Boom! Somebody's got to keep it real.
You nerd.
Dude, we're in like the hipster generation, okay? Glasses is
They're back.
In. You're the nerd from not wearing glasses.
Everyone wears glasses now.
I really cool connected when 21 Jump Street came out. I really connected with Channing Tatum's character. I went back to high school, and it was all of a sudden like cool to be nice to people, and
you fell out of place.
Yeah, that would have been me. I totally got what Channing was up to in that flick. That hit home real hard.
You used to one strap it.
Oh yeah, dude! I had a letter jacket. Dude, I wore my letter jacket every single day. I gave more high fives in the hallway while wearing my letter jacket with a one strap backpack than anyone else.
Were you a bully?
I was not a bully in high school. I had when I was in junior high. I was one of the kids that I thought teasing people was the way to make friends. I was an idiot.
Okay.
And then when I came to public schools for my Catholic school, I didn't know anyone, and I was nervous and scared. And everybody was way bigger than me because I was a late puberty bloomer.
Yeah.
So I was terrified. Everybody was huge, and I was scared. And I thought, I'll make friends by teasing people. That's not what you do. That's not how to make friends. I learned my lesson, a hard one. And then I became a nice person. But yeah, I totally had a strap. Totally had a leather jacket.
I one strapped with a leather jacket, but I was incognito, guys.
I took it a whole nother level.
I was hiding out because it was not cool to be a nerd back then. I had to assimilate.
Dude, frosted tips. I had frosted tips.
Oh, yeah.
Well, M&M was a big deal.
In our middle school, a lot of people rocked frosted tips.
Yeah. Did you ever have that?
No.
No.
Fuck no.
No, hell no. Those losers.
I'll find them. I'm sure I got more online. They're out there. But I was all tipped
up. You guys didn't have a problem, though. You guys were rock stars.
Disheveled when I came. I couldn't believe I had to get up at that time, and then my hair was insane.
Yeah,
it was like it
the
was
big
a
curly
huge fro.
Yeah,
but I looked insane, insane.
But you owned it and became.
Yeah,
I think it became iconic in a way.
Yeah, just not giving a shit. But then I got older. And then I started to care more, and I just couldn't believe that.
Well, I feel like you and Benji have a special bond there because that's
he
went through the same thing.
Yep.
He had the huge fro.
Huge
Benji
fro.
Was what were you 60, 70 pounds overweight?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was after high school.
And I was obese at this time, too.
Oh, see, in high school, I weighed
240 pounds, and, like, I had this huge mop of hair.
We flip-flopped.
So people like, love you
like
for
this
it.
All
just
the time.
Just mumbled older.
Yeah. I was like me.
Dez always teases me because he wants Fat Benji back because I was funnier, apparently, or just more fun to look at, according to him.
Yeah, he was like a big, squishy teddy bear.
But, yeah, I was the opposite. In high school, I was skinny. And then in college, when I stopped wrestling, I had the fro. I mean, I still had the fro beforehand, but then I put on, like, 80 pounds
in
2 months after wrestling was done.
Shit.
Over one summer, I put on 80 pounds.
He exploded,
dude. I exploded. I remember I came to visit Dez. I hadn't seen him in over a year since I put on the weight. I get out of the terminal. I walk up to the car. Dez gets out of the car to give me a hug and puts his arms down and just starts laughing.
I doubled terribly.
He hadn't seen my face in a year, and he just starts contain himself. He just starts laughing.
Doubled
in
over
my
laughing.
Face.
I couldn't believe the transformation that he had undergone.
Just laughed in my face.
The whole trip home was like, so what happened? Yeah.
So he's like, what happened to you? He asked me so
what
many times,
doing
what
with yourself?
Are you doing? Like, what happened? Why? I think there was like a why in there. Like, why?
Yeah. Benji's just like, I don't give a fuck. This is also the time when Benji's career planning was, I don't know, I guess I might finish college and then just become a hobo. I kind of just want to travel the world, man.
I didn't want to be a hobo. I wanted to be a drifter.
Whatever you want to call it.
I wanted to travel. Some people want to travel.
I came up with a hobo sack.
My parents didn't like it. I remember the day my parents like sat me down because I had to do an internship after college. It's the funnest and worst 6 months of your life after college, and you go home and you got to be with mom and dad. It's amazing. It's awesome. But my parents every day were like, what are you going to do? Where's your job? You got a job? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Finally, one day I was like, hey, guys, I got it. I finally know what I'm going to do. I'm going to drift. I'm going to start drifting. I'm going to travel. I'm going to see the world. My mom and dad just like broke. They're like, this is easily the most disappointed in you ever. They're like, this right here today. My mom goes, I can't even talk to you. She left the house.
She just went
to run errands. She had to like just blow off steam. My dad was like, I can't believe this. All the parenting we've done, and this is what you give us. This is what you want to do. My dad was like, you want to be a murderer for a living? I was like, no, I didn't say that.
I just want to kill it.
He's like, that's who drifters are. They're murderers. Kill people. I was like, no, I want to do that. What the hell? Yeah, so that dream was crushed immediately.
Kind of feel bad for you now that I think about it, because you being the youngest sibling, you were constantly shepherded around and shoved into
this
mold.
You
can do this, you can't do that.
Well, that's the amazing thing. That was the day I found out, like, the amazing thing parents do, and I'm sure all you kids will notice this. You'll spend your entire lives, everyone, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Have dreams. You can do this. But then all of a sudden, when school's done or you have to start making money and you throw out that idea, I want to do this or I want to do that, the parents are the first one to say, oh, no, you can't do that. Why would you do that? That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny. I find that interesting.
It's coming from a place of love, I feel totally. They're just scared. You know, they're really and especially if you go into, like, film, like, that's scary. Or you want to be an actor, like, your parent, like,
what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents insisted that I get a minor in marketing. When I went to college.
Oh, so they didn't have faith in your plans.
Well,
to
I just felt like
filmmaker.
In the back of their mind, like, in case you, you're.
Did they have that talk
really
with you? Like,
talented.
You need a backup plan?
What?
Did they say you need a backup plan? Did they come right out with it?
Yeah, my dad was like, you should have a backup plan.
Yeah, that my dad did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did all these marketing classes and wanted to.
Dad
blow
told you
my
to have a backup
out.
Plan?
Well, in a weird way, my parents are always supportive of my film stuff because it was the only thing I ever wanted to do, you know? Like,
yeah.
I still have a book from when I was like 5 years old. They were giving me like production design books and screenwriting books and stuff like that. Yeah. But when I said, I'm going to college for film, they're like, yeah, that's awesome. Do that. And it was phrased as a question. It was like, do you think you need a backup plan? Like, I don't know anything about the film industry. You should probably do that. And the backup plan was essentially just go to college and get a well-rounded education, you know? But no, they were always supportive.
Dad didn't give me a backup plan talk. He gave me kind of one, and I think he did the same thing to our other.
Well, mom and dad
Alex.
Were pretty much done by the time.
Yeah, there were
you
a lot of things.
Around.
They were way more strict with my older two brothers, and then by the time I got around, they were just like, I think they're just so tired from you two guys. They're like, just whatever, kid. I'm like, oh my god, this is too hard. We don't want to do this again.
You got siblings, right, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, one younger brother.
So you're the older. Mm-hmm. You get special treatment.
Yeah, your parents kind of gave up on you guys. It's like. Not gave up. But they
what?
No, they like let. They realized that John was like, I don't know. I feel like with you, John, like you when you want to do something, you put 110% into it. But if you don't want to do something, it's just like
It's like negative
20%. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that was high school.
That was all of high school.
Yeah. No, I nearly had to repeat my junior year of high school because I skipped so much class just to make a feature film
to make a movie
with Jake.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awesome, though. It's not like you were skipping to go hang out with the townies.
No, yeah. He wasn't under the bridge. They paint in the back of the school. Yeah. He was like,
you were making
things.
A movie.
Yeah. Which it's is awesome. Fantastic, by the way. We've watched it. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is love.
Did you guys put that online anywhere?
No, we need
to cut an hour out of that movie.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you saw the first
I suppose, but I insist that you still put up the unaltered original director's vision.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think it's incredible.
So how are your parents now that you guys are out of here? I mean, because you've been here for, what, over a year now, right? Year and a half?
Over two.
Three.
Around three.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I met you guys in November of 2012.
Wow. Man, that feels like just a few months ago.
That just threw off my whole timeline. I've had it wrong then. That just added another year to what I thought I'd been.
So are they, I mean, were they terrified when you guys were coming out here?
Oh, yeah. And I had that weird transitional period, the 6 months after college, and your parents are like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. Stop asking.
Well, it's so weird because at least me, I mean, this is me being naive, but I always just assumed, you know, once, or at least I was told, go to college, you get a job.
Yeah.
College ended, and I was like, hey, how does this job thing work? Where are these at? How do you do this?
Yeah.
And that didn't happen or exist. And I was like, wait, this is so much harder and more confusing than what I thought was going to happen.
It is, but there's
like, what do you do?
It's that there's the charm there. The real gift is that naivete is what got you out here to begin with. A lot of
people can
be too rational and they overanalyze the move out west and they're like, it may not ever work statistically, you know, probability wise. I don't have a snowball's chance in hell, and they never make it. Benji just said, yeah, I guess I'll go to California. $60 in his bank account. He grabbed a backpack and just drove out here.
They all told me to come.
No
so
plans
like, okay.
whatsoever,
all
you know.
Right. Yeah.
But
no, I remember that night when we went to Pasadena and we saw that 80s hair metal band.
Yeah. What was their name?
Past Action Heroes.
Oh, yeah. Past
Shout
Action
out
Heroes.
To the Past Action Heroes. They are taking bookings. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
I kind of want them to do my wedding.
That would be cool.
We were shell-shocked that night because one of our friends got like a DUI or something.
That was like super. We were like, fuck, this is California.
Shit. 80s metal bands, DUIs, what's happening?
Yeah.
Where are we?
No, but I remember you, like, just it was a look that you gave me and you said, like, you should move out here.
Yeah.
Like, you should move out here. And it seemed like that seemed really genuine. And like, that like kind of eased me a little bit. I'm like, all right, like, someone I respect is telling me you should move out here.
Yeah.
And I kind of, like, convinced the parents a little bit. I said, like, I think I could make something.
I think things are working out okay for you guys.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Better than
the grand scheme of things. Yes. Yeah. It is. I'm on cloud nine.
That's how he got me. I was planning on moving to Chicago, doing the whole Second City thing.
Yeah.
And he just kept bugging me. He's like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like something really cool and awesome is going to happen out here with the guys I'm around.
Yeah.
If you don't do it right now, I feel like
you
might miss out.
Now is the time. If you're going to make a move, you got to do it today.
The week I got there, they started writing season one, and it was just lucky.
Damn.
A lot of people ask, like, how do you do that? How did you find the success? How did you get in the show? I got lucky.
It's luck and time.
So lucky.
It's really, it's really a crapshoot.
I know that's not what you want to hear.
You got to be prepared for when that rare opportunity strikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so what are you guys working on right now for both the acclimated Ruby Dog fans and those who perhaps don't really know what you guys are up to?
I'm trying to make a short film, a dramatic short film, which I want John to edit it. I still want John to be a big part of it, but it's kind of like my own thing that I've been writing for a while.
There we go.
Refining.
So aspirations to be a writer-director.
Yeah.
In your own right.
Yeah. And it involves...
Do you have to get approval from your better half here to break up the group
John's
and go do stuff
this,
like that?
John likes the script. He's read it.
Yeah. John goes,
yeah.
You need my approval.
Thrilled.
Well, I mean, if you read the script, it's like horrifyingly dark. But it's good. It's really it's funny, too.
Yeah.
It's like... It's just like, holy shit, like, I don't want to, should we go in?
I'll just say it involves 9 dead goats.
And dozens of dead humans.
It's
a very specific number of dead
humans
goats.
Are easy to get. Dead goats, that's hard.
I know you've been trying to get these dead goats for a while now.
Someone is currently making these dead goats for me.
They're not out
friend.
Murdering goats to make them dead
but
goats.
But that was really in the back of my mind, like, what if I just, like...
Get some live goats.
Get some live goats.
It's easier to find some live goats little, and make yeah, them dead goats. Accident.
But then I was like, well, then the goat corpse is going to rot, and I'd have to put them in a freezer.
And I don't have a freezer. I can't afford 9 goat freezers.
She might as well make fake.
Yeah.
So what's not, just don't kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
Goats.
So what's your day job? What are you working on during the day when you're not getting your short film together?
Oh yeah, well I'm a writing assistant for Dimension 404.
Yeah, see, I know these are rhetorical questions of sorts for the people who are uninitiated.
Yeah, I wanted to be like
what you and John are doing.
Can I mention the thing that I work with you every day?
No, yeah, you and I are locked up in a writer's room.
Yeah,
every day
no.
We have been for the last year.
Yeah, dude,
at least
it's been a real journey.
Yeah, for Dimension 404, our science fiction anthology show we've mentioned here and there. We're getting close to completing that now.
I feel great about where it's at right now
and
the episodes that we have. I think it would be a really fun season of television.
Oh, and then some. I feel like I'm not even going out on a limb when I say it will be unlike anything else you've seen on television.
It'll be really cool.
Yeah.
I'm really stoked on it, and I hope... fingers crossed with the upcoming meetings that
there should be some exciting announcements soon.
Yeah.
So aside from writing, then John, you got your own thing going on at Rocket Jump. We kind of gave you I don't know if we really gave you a budget. We sort of gave you some gear and some expectations and a little edit corner and said go do your own thing, right?
Yeah, well, you needed like side content for when you weren't making your big explosive shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So you were just like figure something out, and I was like, well, what if it was sort of like almost like a mockumentary, but not like half real and half fake documentary about The Office? And
mm-hmm.
I remember you were just like one of the first people to be like, in case you haven't noticed, like, we aren't actors. Like, that's, well, that will not work.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, no, it'll work. And then that's what I've been doing ever since. Mm-hmm. I created this show called This Week at Rocket Jump, and it's on Rocket Jump 2, and you can. There's like, 30 episodes now? That's a lot of,
quite a breadth of content.
Yeah, yeah, and we're finally making like a big budget one. Like, you guys are pulling out all the stops to let me do.
Been making.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
What did I say?
Going to be making?
It's not well, like it's, haven't shot it's it coming yet. Out. It's coming out.
Yeah.
It's coming out. We shot it a while ago, and we've been doing
we've
a lot
talked
of
about it before with all the ball pits,
the
balls. Yeah, we've had the world record breaking amount of ball pit balls in one office.
Is that really world record breaking?
Well, we didn't actually go through the process of calling Guinness out. We really
we should have
really
we should have gotten the big Guinness thing.
We knew statistically because of the gentleman who sold us the balls called every ball pit ball manufacturer across the globe. And that amount of balls did not exist anywhere. It had to be specially manufactured for him and his needs. So we knew that was the largest collection of ball pit
balls.
We
dropped the ball on that.
Yeah.
We should have gotten a Guinness.
Yeah, it didn't occur to us until too late in the game to break the world record.
Clever.
Call Guinness to come out.
That's why you write.
So it's an unofficial title. Unofficial title.
Yeah. So that should be out within a few weeks. We haven't really set an exact release date yet, but it will be... mind-blowing, to say the least.
Yeah, and speaking of mind-blowing, we also got that little action comedy thing we did for Snapchat.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm not sure when that's coming out.
Or if, you know. We'll see what...
that's true.
Snapchat is still figuring out what to do with it. We made the most insane video for Snapchat. Should we even give away what it's about?
I would
probably,
hold.
Yeah.
I would hold.
You kind of just need to let it wash over you, you know? Just see it.
Some action comedy spectacle compressed to a couple of minutes.
We can give them a hint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube and type in Puchinsky. And it's a pilot to a television show, a failed television show. If you watch that.
Spell that, because I wouldn't be able to spell that right.
Like a
Puchinsky?
Like a dog. Like a pooch. Puchinsky.
Oh, see, I was thinking of like... I thought I immediately thought of Russia and P-U-C-H-I-N-S-K-Y.
Like Putinsky?
Putinsky.
Putinsky.
Yeah, I think that was what I thought.
But, look that up. Peter Boyle's in it. Look that up. And watch the whole thing.
There we go.
How much is there? Is it just a pilot or a
whole
season?
If there were 100 episodes of that show, Jim and I were saying we'd watch all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a strange one.
It's incredible. But,
I never watched that. I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
I did that this afternoon.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break for our mid-roll. And when we come back, we're going to cover some of the stuff that's going on in the pop culture zeitgeist. I know you guys are some big TV fans.
Oh, yeah.
As are we. And there's been a couple of big happenings this week. So we'll talk about that and some of the other stuff you guys got going on. And then we're also going to take a TV personality test that came across the desk. So that and more right after the break. Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Rock and Jump too?
All the time.
Yeah. What's on there?
A bunch of amazing videos for this week at Rocket
I
Jump.
I happen to feel you're a little biased because you and John do a lot of the content that's featured on Rocket Jump.
I've helped make a lot of those videos. They're incredible.
Well, there's 30, I believe, 30-some episodes of This Week at Rocket Jump currently to be found, discovered, and shared on Rocket Jump 2.
Yeah, if you haven't watched them, I wouldn't say you're a real Rocket Jump fan.
Exactly right.
You're a poser.
Yeah. We also have video episodes of all these podcasts, past, present, and future, all to be found in Rocket Jump 2 as well.
Those are great, too. Yeah, you should check them out.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're streaming this on your podcast app or listening in your RSS feed, don't forget that we have video versions of these and this very podcast that can be found when you subscribe to YouTube/Rocket Jump 2.
Do it.
All right, we're back. Okay. John, get up in there.
I'm gonna as close as I get.
Yeah. So what is this popcorn time on iOS is a thing that happened this week? Popcorn time. I hear you talking about what the heck is popcorn time?
It's this new app that used to be only on PC and Mac where you can like stream torrents instead of having to download the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's got access to like every movie and TV show you could kind of imagine.
Hmm.
It's kind of like if everything on the iTunes store was just free.
That does not sound
legal.
It sounds
horrifyingly illegal.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I,
if I use this, I'll get in trouble for using it.
Did I not read that was acquired by Netflix or some other large streaming service? Yeah.
I've not done my homework on this. I did not know it was out for iOS now. Apparently.
I thought that was a thing because the streaming services realized that is detrimental to their survival. And I believe someone just, rather than even trying to shut it down, which has proved completely fruitless with Pirate Bay and Kick-Ass Torrents and other torrent sites, someone just said, here, I'm going to give you tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to acquire this. Please go away.
And that's going to be something no one cares about.
Exactly.
Like, didn't Napster try to go, like, legit for a time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Netflix plans free tier after absorbing popcorn time.
These guys are profiting
rather than fighting it. Rather than fighting it, you just buy it, right? That's clever.
Wouldn't they just make another one after Popcorn Time? Be like, oh, thanks for buying Popcorn Time. Now we're doing a
Popcorn Time 2?
Popcorn Time 2.
That's smart.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because Popcorn Time, the interface is really beautifully done. It kind of puts to shame like these other guys who still cannot get their streaming service together. Like, if you want to go on like type in your cable password on the AMC.com, it's really poorly set up and designed. And Popcorn Time, like, it's so cool because you can stream these HD torrents to your like Apple TV, or send it to VLC or watch it within the app. Like, it just gives you so many options. It's kind of like, it is like, I would equate it to like the VLC of like watching movies illegally.
Yeah, they're equating it to Spotify, saying that this could be like a Spotify-esque free tier to include with, in addition to the Netflix premium service, Spotify, which has 60 million users just on its free tier. Those are not active subscribers, so they see a big monetization opportunity there. Interesting.
The Vince McMahon technique.
Yep.
Buy your competition.
Just buy your competition.
Smart move.
Dude, Spotify for movies, like, we're screwed.
Why?
Movies are already, like, you know, hurting financially, right? Like, because of all of this streaming stuff. Like the music industry, the Spotify is, like, really controversial in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of, like, smaller artists get screwed over.
Well, you saw that they just started the new Tidal thing or whatever. What do you think about that? The Jay-Z system.
I saw a headline about that, and I guess he was promising they would pay more royalties than Spotify. That's all
it's
I know.
I think it's like a... It's almost like a artist run.
Here's what I don't understand. I have the Dr. Dre's version of Spotify called Beats.
Beats Music.
And you cannot get The Chronic on that.
Wait, what?
You can't have The Chronic on Dre's app. Like, What is this?
Is that on Spotify?
You should check. But I couldn't believe that.
I would be heartbroken to not have access to The Chronic by Dr. Dre.
I was trying to play Nothing But a G thing, and then nothing. You would think an app called Beats would
right.
have that.
It should.
Interesting.
It should.
Top result, Chronicles of Narnia.
Nope.
Cool.
That's definitely not what I'm looking for.
The Chronic, Dr. Dre, The Chronic 2001, Dr. Dre, The Chronic. No, it is not on Spotify
either.
I
don't know how similar it is, but I saw the Prima deal came out this week too. Have you seen that? The Prima Cinema? It's rich people. It's like a Netflix, but it's like an old table box for rich people. You can put it in your living room and you can watch all the movies that are out in theaters right now. You get
first run movies.
First run.
Right for $5,000 a movie. Though.
A movie, though.
That's the rental fee.
And you have to have like the $30,000.
$35,000.
$35,000 system and $5,000 a flick. So it's rich people movies for sure.
But I don't know.
That'd be sweet.
I mean, I guess if you can't leave the house.
I like going to the theater, though. I really enjoy it, especially when it's packed. I love a good packed movie, like opening weekend, opening night. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience. I enjoy it.
I can't remember the last time, though, like a theater was truly.
John, like, sit in the microphone.
A theater was truly.
Scoot your chair in. Dear God. Scoot it in.
God. Oh, my God.
Well, we've done it like 5 times now, John. 5 times.
Yeah, where you're.
You've been on the podcast before.
And talking to the mic.
You've done this before.
Why are you guys berating John Carman?
Because he keeps screwing up.
Well, we can't.
Can't
poor
hear
Alex
him.
Is in
Alex
the back.
Is,
you guys don't have your headphones on. Poor Alex is back there trying to work. Nobody can hear John.
Take the. Yeah.
John, okay. I can hear you.
Thank you.
Let's have our own podcast. Wow. These guys are getting a little hostile.
We're going to have subtitles for when you speak on this thing.
So we got coming into this podcast, I said, Benji, we're going to need. We want something. We want to do some sort of little gimmick, a segment, what have you. And you found, how did you come across this thing, this TV personality test?
I don't know. I was just scrolling through different movie websites, just people that do rumors and whatnot. I think it was Vulture, maybe. I think they're a subsidiary of like New York Times or something for entertainment, stuff like that. And I ran across, it was like a TV Briggs personality test. It tells you it's supposed to tell you what kind of shows you should look for, or like give you a couple ideas of shows after taking it.
Well, it's supposed to, what's your TV personality type? And the way I read this, it was going to tell you, take this test and it'll tell you which TV character you are, which is grossly inaccurate.
See, I didn't get that. I thought it was going to be just, you know, the actual, like, what
so
kind of
we all, I thought
like?
This was going to be some fun thing we could do, and it'd be like, hey, Benji's a Kramer. John's a Chandler.
But John is so a Chandler.
Which would have been awful. Which would have been completely awful. But it wasn't even that. It took me 30 seconds to take this. And this Myers-Briggs TV personality test.
We'll put the link in the
asked me bizarre questions and recommended that I watch 30-something.
Dude, I don't even know what 30-something is.
I remember 30-something was on my parents' watch when I was a kid. But it is an old television show.
Aren't you actually 30-something, though?
Yes.
So, there you go.
Is that a joke?
No, it was I think they just, like, nailed it. They just
so instead
you.
Of taking this test, we all decided we weren't going to take it, and then we were going to take it together on the show, but then we all cheated and we took it, except for Jake, who only kind of took it.
I did, like, three.
And then you gave up because it's kind of whatever.
Well, then you said that don't take it, and then I didn't take
after
it.
You had started?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking it right now.
So give me some of these questions.
All right. Should we take it?
Yeah, Jake, you take it
Jake,
since you haven't
take
taken it.
Since you haven't taken it, because I already took it and it told me I should watch. And I'm sorry, I'm going to get a lot of heat for this. Told me I should watch X-Files. Nope, not a fan. Don't like it. Didn't like it.
X-Files is incredible and you're wrong,
never
sir.
Never liked
and that's
it.
The end of that.
Never enjoyed it. Don't want to enjoy it. No thanks.
You See don't ya. Want to enjoy a show.
Don't care. Don't miss it.
Okay. Right. To each his own.
I don't miss it at all. I don't feel bad. Not my thing.
All right, Jake.
Question one, you enjoy a good cathartic cry session? Yeah, sure.
You're like
always
you.
Finding old shows to binge watch. No. You often disagree with critics on what is good on TV. No, I usually agree with the critics. You value laughs more than tears. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got to.
You always want people to think you have great taste. Yeah. You are easily affected by strong emotions. Yeah. You're more interested in general idea than in the details of its realization.
What did it tell me? If I could find out
the hard
what
one,
the
Jake.
Other show was.
Yeah, what is that one?
I already did. I said no. I could. It was, you know
too
who
much.
Larry Wilmore is?
Well, you know who Larry Wilmore is?
Hold on. That's the question. Do you know who he is?
Is that the dude who replaced Stephen Colbert?
The question is for you.
It is, though. Jake's,
I know.
But
him.
This is your Myers-Briggs TV personality test, not ours.
I think you should give it a no. You didn't know immediately.
You didn't know.
I know I did. I said he was that guy.
Well,
I
said yes. If he was.
Yeah.
And then
that's
you guys.
Not...
I knew who he was.
It's too late. He already clicked yes.
You would say you'd go for camp, not straight comedy. What? No? People often ask you for TV recommendations. Yeah, they do.
I do.
It wouldn't bother you to miss an episode of your favorite TV show. No, it would. That would bother me. That would bother me. You know the names of at least 5 showrunners.
Let's hear it.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to say no.
What?
So
really?
I could skip through that one. Oh,
does Vince McMahon count?
Yeah, I guess.
Yes, then I should have answered yes. I still got 4. If Vince McMahon counts, I would have been able to do it. I didn't think.
I don't know if he technically runs that show.
I mean,
show.
He runs the show.
I just guess a side right. note, why is it pronounced McMahon and not McMahone? Which is how it's spelled.
Because there's no E at the end.
These things keep you up at night, John?
Kind of. It's M-C-M-A-H-O-N.
Why isn't it McMahon?
It's McMahon.
McMahon.
Yeah.
McMahon.
McMahon.
I think to correctly do it, you have to have that breath like a McMahon.
Take it up with Vince, man. You got to talk to him. I feel like that'd be a dangerous move.
Can we get him on the podcast?
I would love to get Vince McMahon on the podcast. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Has he ever been on any podcast ever?
He's been on one.
Really?
Stone Cold's podcast. They did it live on the network. They're WWE Network. They're smart. They let Stone Cold and Chris Jericho have live interviews after Monday Night Raw to push people to their network.
Yeah,
and they do it with Vince and Triple H, and they don't talk to anyone else.
Did he sound like normal chiller? Was he all just like, "You're
fired, Vince McMahon"?
It was actually hilarious because
and I run the show.
Well, it was funny because he sounds, you know, he answered a bunch of questions. He wasn't like in character or anything. He seemed like his guy, but in his interview, he dogged all of his employees. During the podcast, after the show, they ask him about how he feels about, like, the new generation wrestlers and if he feels like there's anyone that's going to be a star coming up. And he literally just dogs them all and talks about how this generation of wrestlers don't know how to reach for a brass ring and, like, they don't know how to push hard and take opportunities like the old school guys used to. So, like, he did one podcast, and while he was on it, he buried his own competitors. So I don't know if it worked out the way it was supposed to.
I'm sure his agent was just like, Vince, maybe not do another podcast.
All right, here we go.
The
results are
my
in.
Thing. I'm dramatic, episodic, mainstream, highbrow.
Ooh.
So, oh my God, these are the recommendations. The Good Wife, House, 30-something.
And ER.
ER.
I got the exact same results.
Wait, you got
totally.
So let's go watch 30-something together.
Yeah. You get dramatic, serialized, what is it?
Drama, episodic, mainstream, highbrow.
Wait, I got drama serialized. What's the difference between serialized and episodic?
Well, the difference between
there isn't.
There is the difference between like a Seinfeld that's, you know, or a Simpsons that's completely episodic, standalone episodes versus something serialized.
Okay.
You know, like a Sopranos or a Breaking Bad, where you have a season long story arc.
Got it.
Yeah.
You don't look happy at all.
I don't. This thing.
Oh, I was very displeased.
Yeah, well, this is not.
I wanted it to tell me I was a Chandler.
Well, you took it wrong because I took it right, and it recommended shows that I all love: Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Mad Men. I mean,
yeah, that's like so my. That's my taste.
So you're the issue and not the test.
He half-assed it. He was just like, he didn't even like want to think over like the one about like you like concepts versus general ideas or whatever.
Yeah, maybe I.
You were like, too much.
I don't know. I just...
You get frustrated too easily. Yeah, be patient.
So pretty much the moral of the story is they gave me one job to come up with one bit for this podcast.
You failed us miserably. Oh, the worst bit ever.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
I
would just name this bit the worst bit ever.
Yeah, that's the name of the podcast.
I was going to...
I mean, you actually deserve...
Sorry, comma, the worst bit ever.
I would say you deserve all the kudos for coming up with the best worst bit ever.
Hey. Yeah.
That's where that goes.
Yeah.
Right there on my back.
Well, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's hard. It's not really hard to come up with a terrible bit.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
I was saying we should have done like one of those Cosmo quizzes instead of, you know,
like Cosmo sex quiz. Pull up a Cosmo sex quiz. And while you're doing that, I wanted to have you guys. This is something we've done on a podcast before where, you know, people send us questions, requests. They want to know more about Rocket Jump and the shows that we're working on. And I know in the past we've let John answer some of these questions on our behalf.
Oh, God. Oh, no. And, that got backlash.
No, it didn't. No, people loved it. They loved every single bit of that.
I heard that commenters were like, who's this jackass?
Who's this jack wagon? They say that about me, and I've been on 75 episodes of the podcast.
Yeah.
My favorite comment is, who's that guy in the corner? Looks like he's always taking a dump throughout the entire podcast. It's like, that's me. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the love.
That's hilarious.
So, Benji, did you bring us...
I'm on it right now. We got some. I'm looking for the...
Some questions?
I gotta pull them all up here.
Questions in a Cosmo quiz.
We're back at the old office, and I again.
We've moved everything out of here, so this morning we have no Wi-Fi, no drinks, no coffee.
So I brought my.
Thanks, Jake, for thinking of only yourself.
So let me pull these up real quick. We used a hashtag for a custom hashtag for today's questions.
Ooh, cool.
So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Here we go.
Make sure you throw out the handles as well, so people get credit for writing in.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Here we go. John, this is for you guys, since you and Jake are usually doing this, but Dragon Shards wants to know, why are videos so few and far between after the end of VGHS? Been busy on new projects?
Well, Dragon Shards.
Yes. Well, listen, Dragon Shards.
D-Shards.
First of all, D-Sheeds, thanks for writing in. We appreciate your fandom.
Yeah.
John. What's going on? Where's all the shorts?
John. Where's the content?
What are you talking about? I'm the guy who makes the filler in between the shorts. Like, you're
me
a filler.
And you, yeah, we have podcasts.
John,
and this
where is
in
the stuff?
John, where's the material?
You guys,
Dragon Shards is.
Yeah. He's pulling his hair out just waiting for this content.
Something to watch.
Where? What are you doing?
The next video is main channel one, so I guess it's on me.
It is on you, and it's taken you how long now? A month?
Yeah.
Ish kabibble.
So, Dragon Shards, to answer your question, the problem is John.
Yeah.
He's just backing up the whole system over here.
No. Rocket Jump has gotten too big for its britches. You know what I mean?
Oh!
We're like, we make Hollywood-level stuff, but, you know, for the internet, and to do that, you can't just churn that out. You have to put all your chips on something and then wait and spend all the time on it.
Spend the time on it.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
It takes effort and time to make something good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we've all sort of thrown down the challenge to make the best possible stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot of time. Like we mentioned earlier, we've been writing a show for a year in the writer's room, and that's coming out of 2 years previous to that, where it was being developed by another group of individuals. You know, and we probably got another, 3 months left, you know, before we go into pre-production. And then there's a year of shooting and post. Like this, you know, Dragon Shards, to honestly answer your question.
Mr. Shards.
Mr. Shards.
Mr. Shards.
If I could level with you, sir or madam, I'm not sure, you know, that's a.
That's true.
That is a non-gender specific.
It's not like Dragon Shards is a dude. I'm just going to go out there and say.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're probably totally right.
But yeah.
I think it is, but I don't want to be presumptuous.
Exactly.
Mr. Shards, this stuff just takes a lot of time, man, and we're working on it. We got a lot of stuff coming. Look, go to Rocket Jump 2, subscribe, because John, up until this last video, which you've put your heart and soul into, and it's taken a little longer than usual, we got a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah, you got 30 episodes of this week of Rocket Jump. They're all gold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next bench. Next question from Michael Diaz at Mike Doesn't Know. Who records a podcast at 9 in the morning?
Us.
No, not us. We never record at 9 in the morning.
Rarely. We almost did today. It was because I sent this message out at 9 in the morning, so they thought we were...
You guys would be two guests short if this was being recorded at 9 in the
morning. It'd be Benji and Alex in here pissed off. Yeah, because I wouldn't be here at 9 either.
Here we go, John. Do you feel Rocket Jump would... This is from Ben Hatch at Tech Hatch. Do you feel Rocket Jump would be as big as it is now if you were located outside of California because of production costs?
Wait for me?
For Rocket Jump. John, you're answering on...
Oh, I'm answering all of these?
Yes. You guys are answering for Rocket Jump.
You guys, as in plural,
you
like not just me.
You and Jake.
Jake, we'll throw this one to Jake.
I threw it to you, though, already.
Yeah, he already threw it to you.
Okay, what, the question is...
Catch it.
The question is, would we be as big if we... What?
Located outside of California. I believe what Ben's trying to get at is, due to production costs and standard of living out here in California, would our company have grown exponentially quicker in a different geographical region due to it being cheaper?
We wouldn't have access to the resources. So. Like on what's every 90s commercial, Dez needed to like create a mold of a thing like creature. Like, where are you going to do that in, you know, Omaha, Nebraska? Nowhere. Mm. You got to be out of here.
You got to be out of here.
Yeah. This next thing it like involves like crazy car stunts and like all the stuntmen are out here. And like, you know, like it's a city where you can like go on Craigslist and find a used bus to flip at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, it's, we live in a genie lamp of a city, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you need something, there is a individual that will do that for you. You know?
Yeah.
You just, they're there. They're out there. You couldn't do this anywhere else.
No, yeah.
That being said, when we go into larger productions, we may have to shoot those for a few weeks out of town. After you do all the prep work here, mm-hmm. you assemble your crew, then you pack them up, you move out of town so you can take advantage of tax benefits and things of that nature.
I mean, we have friends, like, filmmakers. We went to school in Chicago. Like, we have friends out there who are still trying to make it work. Like if you're trying to do, like, indie, smaller stuff, but, like,
look, it's possible, right? You have a production center in Chicago. There's a lot of stuff that happens in Detroit. Yeah. Obviously, you've got New York is a big hub.
Austin, too.
Austin is
a
big.
Now is getting a lot of
work. Yeah, some of those places, though, that's not their main headquarters. Yeah. It's the people go out and they shoot there to take advantage of tax benefits. But, I mean, it's possible. L.A. is, you know, it's the place. And it works for us because the reason why people came out to Hollywood, you know, 100 years ago, because... geographically, we have any setting at our disposal.
Yeah.
You know? Next.
All right, Johnny Bosworth, our boy Johnny Bosworth, one of our biggest fans. He wants to know if
the
you
big
guys...
Boz.
Yeah, he wants to know if you guys saw the Johnny Boz Awards. Did you watch it?
I did.
Where were you? Dez, you saw it.
I saw it.
I saw it.
Thanks, Johnny.
Did you see it, John? All right, Johnny Boz, there you go. Carmen didn't see it.
Carmen didn't see it. Doesn't know who you are.
No offense, Bosworth, but I don't know who the heck you are.
Wow. You obviously don't follow our Twitter handle at all, do you then?
Wow.
You don't follow any of our social media at all,
damn
do
it,
you?
Sean.
I glance at it every once in a while.
There you go. But I saw the Johnny Boz Awards. It was fantastic.
Well,
we actually won a Johnny Boz Award.
I know.
Yeah, we won a couple.
Thank you, Johnny. What trophies in the mail, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we were waiting for our trophy, John. I don't know where it is. Still waiting. Anyways, last question. Not the last one. I'll have to switch over there. They want to know what genre is the new Hulu series.
What genre? This is the new Hulu series. Documentary.
Yeah.
I would say
documentary. Easy.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. Documentary with a hybrid of fiction because there's shorts, you know?
It's a funny documentary.
Yeah.
With shorts.
It's the subgenre is comedy, learning documentary, right? Because there's behind the scenes making of elements.
It's a hodgepodge.
It's hodgepodge of action, comedy.
I love that word.
Heartfelt, behind the scenes.
It's a hodge.
It's a hodge. It's a hodge piece.
It's your classic hodge.
It's your classic hodge.
It's your classic hodge. Yeah. All right. Trevor at Trevorsaurus wants to know your guys' favorite 70s films or film made in the decade
of the
1970s. I already know my answer instantly. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Boom. Number one.
Mm, Easy Riders up there.
Love it.
The Conversation.
Mm.
It's classic.
That's a dank film.
Dank?
Yeah.
Is The Thing 70s? Or
no, it's 80, 82.
Nah, it's 80s.
It's just on the crisp. 1982.
The Godfather films. Dog Day Afternoon.
Awesome. Classic movies, yeah.
70s. What about Body Snatchers? Was that?
Oh, yeah,
Body
that's 70s.
Snatchers, 70 or 72. 70s, yeah. Killing of a Chinese Bookie, I believe, is early 70s. I may be mistaken. That may be like late 60s.
Ask it what your favorite film is. Like, there's so many classic films came out.
These are just what's off the top of my head. Yeah.
If I was on Nosferatu right now. Came out, Werner Herzog's, wasn't that 70s?
So.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite horror films.
Mm-hmm. I've not yet seen it. John's been begging me to watch that movie forever. No, I still have the Blu-ray on my shelf.
You sure now?
I found it.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, I found it.
That's really good.
Yeah, all right.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
All right, so what are we wrapping this up with today, Benj?
What are we wrapping it up with? Usually we're going to do this week's recommendations. What do you guys...
No Cosmo quiz?
I couldn't... You had me just start looking at Twitter questions.
I think if you type in Cosmo quiz,
talk about the shows that we're watching and stuff.
You don't want to give John a Cosmo quiz? John really wants the Cosmo quiz.
John's dying for a Cosmo quiz.
We don't have the time.
It's okay. We don't have time.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to give your, what did you watch this week and what do you recommend?
Better Call Saul was the show to beat this week, right?
Yeah, well, it's right now it's like awesome time for TV. You got Last Man on Earth, Justified final season. You got Mad Men's back now. Game of Thrones is about to start back up.
And Louis about to start
And now Better Call Saul.
Silicon Valley.
On top of like just yeah, like all crazy. Yeah, like last week tonight is killing it. And you have those like made TV docs like the Scientology one and the Ross, Robert Durst, the Jinx. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Raw still on every Monday. It's gold, man. It's gold. That's what I was watching this week. That's what I'd recommend. WrestleMania wrapped up.
I mean, there are not enough hours in the day to watch all the amazing things. Yeah,
it's
a lot.
It really it's insane. It's a truly, like, I think it's surpassed movies in terms of like
absolutely.
Just the volume of great stuff. You know, like it feels like, you know, great movies, they come out every once in a while. Mm. But yeah, usually I'm like more compelled to just like binge watch a show.
Yeah.
And then like if a show has a great episode, you know, I'll just want to watch it again.
Oh, absolutely. I watched
just to get myself psyched for the next one.
I showed the pilot of Last Man on Earth to like six different groups of people. I've seen that thing like eight times now.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's you know, I think it's like part of this generation like gravitating more towards TV, I think, is because we're more acclimated to short form content like YouTube or whatever. Like, I feel like our attention spans are a bit shorter. And like, movies are almost, as much as I love them, like, they are almost an unreasonable thing where it's like you have to sit quietly without having to pee for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
They can be, but that's, you know, that's the up to the task of the film and the filmmakers to grasp and hold on to your attention. And I welcome that challenge. I want a movie that is going to challenge my incredibly finite and minute attention span.
But it's like when you're at home and you're having like a big group of friends over and you want to like watch a show, it's like you can just all just enjoy that without like getting bored. Like, sometimes you just throw in a movie, like half people are just gonna check out and start like at some point start, you know, going on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
A show, if it's like a great episode, like people are just gonna be like locked in with that. And I think it's almost like, in my opinion, more relevant kind of form of entertainment right now than movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been watching this show called The Chair. It's a reality show about, basically, it's kind of like Project Greenlight.
Why are you laughing?
Because Jake's not watching it out of like, you know, fascinated. Well,
oh,
no,
I am fascinated. No, I've watched it.
So what the hell do you know?
It's riveting. No. It's riveting. I mean,
what's the chair? That's like a Project Greenlight type.
Yeah, you start with a script that some dude wrote. And you give it to two different people. One of them is like Shane Dawson, that YouTube dude.
Got it.
And then the other one is this woman who went to like NYU for screenwriting, and her husband is like an accomplished like independent filmmaker.
All right, so you take a script and you give it to
like a YouTube
someone
celebrity.
With talent highly, and someone without.
arguably both without.
That's the thing. Like, both of them.
Jake's watching.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. Jake's watching because like there's just a train wreck in slow motion.
That sounds fascinating. They're both not really qualified to be making a feature film. Neither of them are.
Sure.
You can tell when you're watching it, but they have like,
is that the point of the show, or was that unfortunate?
It's an experiment, and I mean, you start with a script, and then each person gets like two rewrites on it, and it becomes entirely different. They do such wild rewrites, and like, you could tell like the writer of the thing is just like, what the fuck is this?
This sounds like film school.
And Chris Moore produced it.
Who produced
like
Project Greenlight?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's funny because like, he didn't even have the budget for like each movie. It's like $600,000 budget. So there's like all this drama going on, and like all levels. It's like, we don't have the money. Like,
how much money did they get each?
$600,000.
I thought you said 6,000.
God. 6,000.
6,000. Go. Come on. Make a feature.
What's the problem? What are you bitching about?
What do you want? Yeah.
600 is not
really
bad.
Really entertaining.
We did the first season of VJ Chess for $1 million. You know?
Yeah.
600. You can make a 90 minute movie with $600,000.
Yeah. Coming of age tale in Pittsburgh. $600,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really, I recommend.
What is that on? What network is that?
I don't know, Stars.
Was it Stars? I think it's Stars.
Terrible thing like Stars.
Are you streaming that online?
Oh, yeah. It's on iTunes. You can get it on iTunes. Uh-huh. That's what I've been doing.
All right.
I might have to check that out.
Yeah.
Definitely. The Chair?
Yeah.
The Chair. It's a great George Strait song, actually. So watch your Google searches. You'll probably get hit with that.
Yeah,
as
be
well.
Careful. You might get hit with something you didn't look for.
It is. Well, that's
something you weren't searching for to begin with.
I'd be looking for George.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you would.
You hate him.
George?
Yeah.
I don't even know the man. Can't say that I hate him.
God, that's a heartbreaker. He's more number one than anyone in history.
I'm sure he's a
George
pleasant, Strait. Pleasant individual.
He's the cowboy.
A fine talent.
I don't know who that man is. Never heard of him.
I'm not surprised.
What's the most obscure thing on TV that no one knows about?
Well, The Chair. I mean,
that's it.
I just said it. That's pretty obscure. I don't think anyone.
I didn't. If you guys haven't seen the Eric Andre Show,
oh yeah, that's awesome.
That is like
it's on Comedy Central.
No, it's on Adult Swim. It's like it's a 15-minute show, and it's like as like the late night talk show format.
Yeah, we know some folks that write for the Eric Andre Show.
It's madness.
Yeah,
yeah,
but like beautiful madness. Like every episode starts with Eric Andre, the host, throwing an insane temper tantrum and trashing the entire set.
Every episode starts like this?
And then it's immediately like rebuilt in front of him almost magically. Like there's another set just waiting off screen that just gets rolled in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
And he's out of breath every time because he just trashed the last one.
And then Hannibal Buress just like walks in like nonchalant.
Yeah.
And just like...
But he doesn't even have a. They don't even have a chair for Hannibal Buress. So whenever they have a guest, he's just standing over their shoulder, really making them really uncomfortable.
It's really good.
It's so good.
It sounds incredible.
It's an acquired taste. Like I showed a group of girls that I'm friends with that I was like I've tried to play it for them and they're just like no like this is like not like this is it's very high energy. Nuts! Like he has no limits. No limits. Yeah. He'll just do nasty, horrible things in that show. But it's if you have a sick sense of humor like me, you will love it.
All right, we'll have to check that out. I've seen an episode or two, but in the meantime, where could people go see your guys' stuff?
You can see This Week at Rocket Jump on Rocket Jump 2. And Ruby Dog Movies is Ruby Dog 189 on YouTube. And
what's that 189 from?
Didn't Jake, you made that?
No,
right?
It's one. Yeah,
there 188.
I was born.
Ruby Dog Movie YouTube
Jake's email used to be Mojito 189.
It was at Yahoo.com.
Oh yes,
mind you.
At Netscape.
Oh my gosh.
You guys on the tweets? You on the Twitters, Veer, and the
do
Instagrams?
That
he doesn't fucking mess with
that. I'm on Instagram.
Oh, but you do mess with that bullshit.
Yeah, well, I'm more of a visual artist, you know what I mean? So okay. It suits my needs.
Yeah, what is it? I Love Corgis?
No, it's Corgis underscore R underscore rad.
Okay.
So you know.
Yeah, Jake's corrected. Jake's Instagram is riveting. His latest post was... a picture of a John's sign, you know, John's like the supermarket.
Yeah,
that's it.
Did you like that?
No, I didn't.
Was that a good?
Was that for John?
Was that a good gram? Did
I
get lots of follows?
No, it was a picture of John's, and I wrote Vaughn's under it, and I thought that was, you know,
pretty clever.
Yeah, could see you guys. Yeah.
I got to start following you. Sold me.
Yeah,
you got me.
It was all right. It was pretty okay.
Yeah. Wait, Des, you're on Instagram?
Oh yeah, where are we? Yeah, you're
Wait,
on.
You, are you posting and stuff?
Oh man, I'm great.
Yeah, I don't think either of you like that.
What, Instagram?
No, we didn't. No, my last.
Oh,
post.
We like your photo.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't.
I'm sure it elicited like a.
Do you guys want to? You know,
now
like
the cat's out of the bag. I don't want to make this any more awkward than it already is. No, I didn't like it.
After the podcast, you know, maybe you can like that photo, and then we can. You know,
yeah, I didn't even know you're on.
Get back to business.
We'll talk. I mean, I want to know what's in it for me, but we'll have that conversation after the show in private. Anyway, thanks, guys, for coming by. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. John, you got to go finish this ball pit video
we
can get that epic back on the air. Now, you and I got to go finish writing our sci-fi series.
Yeah. Let's do it, man.
Benji's going to go catch up on This Week in Pro Wrestling.
Yep. Got to miss Raw on Monday. Yeah. Get to catch up.
And that'll do it. And people can follow you on Instagram.
They can, but I don't accept any friends on Instagram.
They follow you. You don't You can prove it or not.
You can set, yeah, you can set it. So well, it's only approvable.
Again, I stand corrected.
Because it happened on my Facebook. My Facebook, I accidentally just started. Not that I don't want people to follow. I just, there's just too many people. And then the feed got mixed up. And then I never saw pictures from like my actual like family. And that's, I was like, I shut it down. So there's only like 5-10 people that can actually follow me. Oh. So sorry. That's a
all
shutdown.
Right. Well, I'm open to a new friend. So I think I'm Mondo Desmondo on Instagram.
Good pictures of Charles on there.
It's basically the Charlie Instagram. Yeah,
on the tweets,
if you're a big fan of my dog, subscribe to my Instagram feed.
Yeah. You guys like my dog?
You guys like my dog? Oh, he's so cute. He's adorable.
At Des Dolly on Twitter. You're at Benji Dolly.
Yep.
Company tweets.
Company tweets. Rocket Jump tweet. Then we got Freddy's F Wong. Then we have Rocket Jump on Instagram. Then we have our Rocket Jump Facebook account. Our VGHS Twitter, VGHS.
In case you're
account.
Just not getting enough,
we have all of it. We've got
just a lot. We want you to subscribe and like, like the feed, like the pictures. We want you to comment,
share it,
download the podcast app,
email it, do it all.
This is reminding me.
Yeah.
One last show you all have to check out is Tim and Eric's Bedtime
Stories. That's what I was just thinking of. Yeah.
Think of the, creepy guy going like, be sure to like and subscribe. Yeah,
like and subscribe. Subscribe to our Facebook feed and like our Twitter. Repost the Twitter to Facebook and be sure to like that and comment on that.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, subscribe to the Twitter.
Yeah. Hashtag Rocket Jump.
Hashtag Rocket Jump.
Boom.
So anyway, we got work to do. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks you guys for spending your time with us. We're going to go back to the office and spend the rest of our day together.
Yep. And thank you, Alex Reeves, Point of Blue Studios again.
Thanks, Alex.
That'll be
it. And thanks all you guys.
Thank you.
See you next week. Thank you, John.
Bye.